For nearly 6 months now, a trip up Oregon 99 from Ashland to Medford has revealed the scars of the Almeda Drive fire. If you live in that corridor, you can't escape looking at the wreckage. It hurts. But it also educates and reminds us of the work ahead to clear away and rebuild. Those themes come together in a new book of writing and visuals produced by people in Phoenix and Talent, the two communities most affected. The book is called Oregon's Almeda Fire, What the Fire Took, What We Gave Back, documenting the evacuation, loss, and renewal by residents of Talent in Phoenix, Oregon in 2020. It starts with Diana Morley, a writer from Talent. Welcome, Diana.
Thank you.
And Kristen Kelly Williams, a photographer who used to be a neighbor of Diana's. Kristen, welcome to you.
Thank you.
So you guys were neighbors with very different fire outcomes. Kristen Kelly Williams, tell us what happened.
Well, we definitely lost our house, and I wasn't home. My husband and my son were, and I was on my way to get my daughter, who was actually near where the fire started. So she was in a class. So that was a whole different perspective because I just wanted to get her out of there. And then my family actually evacuated and the rest, you know.
So, I mean, this is something you do. I mean, you take pictures of things. Did you immediately start taking pictures of the wreckage of your home? Or I'm just curious to know how the processing worked there.
You know, the process, which everyone experiences different, of course, and they actually wouldn't let anyone into our neighborhood until 10 days into the fire or after the fire.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a lot of uncertainty and shock, of course. And so I actually normally photograph people.
Mm-hmm.
And when we did arrive at the lot, we now call it, the creation that the fire left behind was actually fascinating to me. And in turn, I realized it was how I process the grief. I just would go around and find things that meant something to me, and then I would capture it in a detailed form.
And some of those pictures are indeed contained in the book. Diana, the fact that your house still stands is a bit startling from the sounds of it.
It certainly is. It was astonishing that the wind simply arrived at my fence and went up and over my house. It's happened everywhere around, you know, where you'll see a house standing alone, mm-hmm. perhaps, and it's just by chance, purely by chance. I'm grateful, but I also feel so awful. You know, everything behind me is gone. All of my neighbors lost their homes behind me, and including Kristen, but they're rebuilding now, which is wonderful to see, of course.
Yeah, it's been interesting to watch. I live in Talent myself, and seeing 2x6s prop up in the middle of the ashes. I mean, not mm-hmm. directly in the middle. I mean, obviously, they clear the sites away first. I don't want to give anybody wrong ideas here, but the process is underway. Things are happening again.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about the process of building in the realm in which you work, about the formation of the idea that led to the book.
Well, Kristen really started it because when she's posted on Facebook, and I was so moved by the photos that she had taken, so then I began taking photos as well because I was fascinated by the beauty as well as the destruction. And and then I mentioned something to my son-in-law in Florida, and he said, well, you know, you could put a book together with some of your poems and photos. And I thought, oh, well, that's a nice idea, but how do you do something like that? I've never done anything like it. And so, but then once I began, it's sort of like, you know, when you're braiding cord, you get it started. And once you get it started, it's clear what you do next, mm-hmm. which goes over which side and so on. And so once I wrote the foreword to the book, I knew how to proceed. And I kept going.
And got other people, too. I mean, who are the other contributors besides you two, Diana?
Yeah. Well, Dan Kaufman is in our open mic monthly meetings. And Penny Levy is a neighbor who didn't lose her home, but she's about a block and a half from me. And she's a poet also. And then Betty LaDuke and I happened to be at the same gym together. And when I mentioned I was doing the book, she volunteered putting an image in. And I was, of course, very grateful for that. And so that's pretty much how it happened.
Diana Morley and Kristen Kelly Williams are guests on the Jefferson Exchange, the creators of a book of photographs and writing, a lot of poetry, called Oregon's Alameda Fire, What the Fire Took, What We Gave Back, documenting the evacuation, loss, and renewal by residents of Talent in Phoenix, Oregon in 2020. All proceeds from sales go to the Fire Relief Fund. We'll talk about mechanisms in just a moment, but you can join this conversation. You might have some thoughts of your own to share about experiences you've had in there, and join it and share that with us here on the Exchange at 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Kristen, you have some writing in here as well as photography, and one early piece in the book is about deciding what to take when evacuating. Describe how tough that process was.
Actually, I didn't get to choose what to take since I wasn't home. I will say the alert that was on a Facebook page had said, you know, Ashland and Southern Oregon is in a level one evacuation on Monday evening. And I thought, well, I never listened to those, but maybe we should this time. And so my daughter and I actually had a bag packed of very minimal things, literally clothes and shoes and some toiletries. And luckily we had at least that. And then when I went to get her from school, the fire was just raging towards Talent, and I called my husband and I said, you know, you might actually want to pack and get in the car and go. And they ended up packing a lot of our digital hard drives and basic needs, and that was it, and the pets, and that was it. Mm-hmm. So we didn't actually get a ton of time, or honestly, we also didn't think it was going to get to our house.
Yeah, nobody does. And mine survived as well, but I realize now I wasn't really taking it seriously at the time. Are there moments, Kristen, when you think of something you want to reach for and then remember, oh yeah?
You know, the silliest part of that is so true. We still reach for the potholders in the drawer next to the stove. And they're not there because we put them somewhere else in the new place. But yeah, and the things I actually regret not getting are the paintings and the old photos, because I can't replace either of those.
Right. Diana, the book appears to have come together quickly. Talk about the process of getting submissions and then doing the editing and the publishing and all of that.
Well, as I told Kristen, I really felt as if I were on a mission. I just started working one day, and I was obsessed with doing it, and I would work like 4 and 5 hours and suddenly look up and realize it was dark outside, because the process just, it was magical. It really all came together so fast, and I had so many photographs, and then, of course, Kristen gave me some of her photographs. I had some new poems, some old poems, and as I mentioned earlier, the braiding, you know, once you start, mm-hmm. it just, everything began to blend together the way it felt right. And that was my process. There was nothing to describe about it, except to say that I was astonished by what was happening while I was doing it. and it came together, and I was very happy, and I thought, great, because I wanted to not only, you know, provide a sort of memoir for people who've experienced this fire, but also to raise funds for the fire fund. I just sent in a check for $375 to the fire fund.
Wow.
And, you know, from accumulated mm-hmm. Different people. And so I'm really happy about that. People have been very generous.
I don't see a price tag on the book. Is it just a suggested donation, or is there a...
Well, when I talk to people about it, I say, you know, $10 or more. Mm-hmm. And some people have simply donated directly. Mm-hmm. And my concern is just that people have the book. I just want as many people who would really benefit from it to have it and enjoy it. I've talked to one member of our gym who bought the book, and he said, he sent me an email afterwards saying it was so wonderful to share with his family and his children. Mm-hmm. And people have, in fact, I have one friend who lives in Santa Fe, who bought 7 copies because she knows people in Oregon, because she used to live in Oregon, and she wanted to send the book to them. So, you know, this is sort of what I envision happening, and I hope it continues.
Oregon's Almeda Fire, what the fire took, what we gave back. It is words and pictures from Phoenix and Talent of the fire and the aftermath of the Almeda Fire in September. We're talking to Diana Morley and Kristen Kelly Williams, who put it together. You can join us at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Kristen, you mentioned you generally take pictures of people, but a lot of stuff to take pictures of here. Some very personal pictures of finding your stuff in the ashes. Tell us about that process.
Well, excuse me. Some of the images Diana chose were probably the most precious to me. For example, my son plays piano and has since he was four. And to find the piano that he actually paid for with his own money, it was a baby grand piano, and to find it in the ashes, all that's left is what's considered the harp, and it's the frame, the metal frame. And to find that and kind of capture that at its, you know, at its final resting place was really, really important to me. And honestly, we decided to keep it and maybe make it a yard art on some form.
So it does have its own sort of awful beauty, doesn't it?
Right, and it would lay beautifully in the ground, and I just, when we took it out of the foundation and put it out on the side of the yard so it would be out of the way of debris removal and flipped it over, that's the side that we saw. So that's what was underneath all of the burned part, and it was just so beautiful, and I couldn't stop taking pictures of it.
They're pretty amazing pictures. Now, Diana, for you, though, I mean, coming home after 10 days, was it poetic license or was there really a cold cup of coffee still sitting in the microwave?
It really was. Yeah, it was quite shocking. Of course, everyone who came back found all kinds of mold in their refrigerator. And one person I know who didn't lose her home, but she had to replace the refrigerator because they couldn't get everything out. And so,
yeah, I've heard some other neighbors like that, too. It's like, yeah, their house is okay, but the refrigerator just died.
Yeah. It's and, of course, there was no gas or electricity at first. And then the second day I was here, the gas people arrived, and I was actually able to take a shower, which was nice. And but it was the whole evacuation was so traumatic. In fact, I still... last week, I actually woke up in the middle of the night, and I had had a dream where the flames were coming, the smoke was there, and I was yelling fire at the top of my lungs. It just, it's not something you get over completely. It will eventually get better and better, but, you know, that day that it happened, I was standing in my kitchen, and you know how when a cloud comes over the sun and suddenly the sky kind of darkens momentarily. Mm-hmm. And so I just happened to notice out of the corner of my eye, oh, there's something darkening. And I looked and there was smoke. And I had felt something like this might happen, actually. So I had a bag with all my medicines and I had one suitcase packed in case we had a wildfire. So I had time to pack more. And then I got my car all packed, and my car wouldn't start for 2 or 3 minutes. Oh. And I was one of the last out of the neighborhood. So that was pretty frightening, but it did start eventually. I have a different car now. But by the time I got out to 99, I did see flames. Uh-huh. And, that's something we don't have happen often in our life.
No, and I think we're all flinching at high winds now.
Oh, yes.
Ever since that day. So, Kristen, there is an arc to the book. It's three parts, evacuation to loss, ending in renewal. And one effective pair of pictures in the renewal part is of a building in downtown Talent right after the fire and then right after cleanup. Have you visited some places in town many times?
I definitely have. I like to see the rebirth, as we may call it, of the town and my neighborhood. I definitely drive by as often as I can. It's hopeful and exciting, and we're definitely excited to get a new house, so all of that is...
And where are you living in the meantime?
We're in Ashland. We were very, very lucky, and family and friends band together and found us a rental actually the day after the fire.
Wow.
And we were able to move in that Friday, which was unheard of.
Yeah, that is, you're the luckiest people in Ashland.
I know, right? I couldn't believe it. I feel very humbled by that.
There is a question here from, or a proposition here from somebody who just dropped off a phone call, didn't want to leave their name, but asks Diana if you have thought, if the two of you have thought about donating copies of the book to the Rogue Valley Libraries, especially in Talent and Phoenix, for residents who would like to read it, but may not monetarily be able to support at this point.
Of course. I always give copies to the libraries of books, and we'll do so. And in fact, the book exchange in Ashland is not charging for the book. They're carrying it. Bloomsbury is also carrying it.
Mm-hmm.
But the book exchange, he was so impressed. He just said, you know, he wants to give it to people who lost their homes. And of course, quality paperbacks here in Talent is mm-hmm. covered. He has a copy. And but yeah, libraries are important. And that's something, you know, I will slip it through their door. I know they always say, oh, we're not taking any books right now.
Right.
But I feel this is an important one for people to have access to.
And there's a real mix of emotions, I would think. I mean, optimism for the future of town, but what else are you guys feeling? Let's start with you, Diana.
Mm. Yeah, well, as you mentioned, every time we have a high wind, we feel nervous.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that goes away. But at the same time, we're just so impressed with the support that people have shown and the way the community has come together. People are just wonderful. You know, when I was working on the book, writing about the loss didn't upset me nearly as much, you know, emotionally, as when I start getting into the gratitude, and I just feel so overwhelmed by how wonderful people can be
mm-hmm.
at a time when we've seen a lot of the other, especially in our media, we see a lot of all the wrongdoing that goes on, but there's so much good going on in our community.
And Kristen, about a minute left here to talk about the mix of emotions that you're feeling about, I mean, obviously you're documenting this along the way too.
Yeah, that's definitely my therapy, and I definitely piggyback Diana on her thoughts. Honestly, the past is the past. It is what it is, and I can't fix it or change it, but I can educate others moving forward through insurance policy experiences and rebuilding and, you know, trying to make life again, you know, rebuild our lives again. And that's where I've been trying to reach out and help others if I can.
All right, a lot of work ahead. The book is called Oregon's Alameda Fire, What the Fire Took, What We Gave Back. It is pictures and artwork and words from people who survived the Alameda Fire. Thanks very much to Diana Morley and Kristen Kelly Williams for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.
Good to have
you
both.
Jeff.